Good morning. We're going to continue in our Acts study. And before we get started, I want to tell you about an event in the life of Leonard Skutnik. What a name. Leonard worked in Washington, D.C., and he was in the Congressional Budget Office. He was an assistant in that office, and he was just your regular guy, but what was about to happen and what he was about to do was going to be so extraordinary that he would move from being a regular person to being a remarkable person. Washington, D.C. was in a snowstorm. It's January 13th, 1982, and the storm had hit D.C., 6.5 inches. You think that was bad, it was going to get worse. And as people anticipated the blizzard, offices were closing. People were scurrying along the Potomac River there, and the river is freezing up. You could almost ice skate all the way across it, but the current was so strong that big chunks of ice were breaking away, and there was a big wreck on the main highway there. Cars were at a standstill. The snowstorm kind of breaks a little bit. And so the airport decides that maybe we can let some planes go here. And Air Florida Flight 90 decided they would go. They boarded, and they got in there. They went through the de-icing process, which they did not do properly. And you can see where this is heading. As the plane took off that day, it crashed into the 14th Street Bridge and plummeted into the Potomac River while all the people in the traffic jam are watching this unfold. News crews that were heading to someplace important knew that they were in someplace important. They got out, they started filming, and as we watched on TV, as we watched people holding on to the tail of that airplane, floating in that frigid water, about to lose their life, not to just a plane crashing in the water, but now to the freezing temperature of the water. A national park helicopter began to fly. It didn't really have any emergency equipment. All it found was this big life preserver, round life preserver, like you see at a swimming pool, tied a rope to it, makeshift, and they started going to the plane through all the poor visibility. The crowd watching that day watched the helicopter. Oh, there's a helicopter. And as it began to grab people, it would drag them to shore. A gentleman by the name of A.D. Williams would one by one give that preserver to the other people who were already in a bad situation due to the wreck. And he helped them get on board. And one by one, he would pull them. And then there was this lady. Her name was Priscilla Tarondo. And as she got on to the life preserver there, as they were pulling her along, the helicopter fumes get in her eyes. And so she can't see anything. And all of a sudden, she hits some. It breaks a couple of her ribs. So we're not surprised. She slid back into the water, disoriented, almost still frozen. Her life was on a thin line. And there is a gentleman, Leonard, as he is watching this unfold, cameras turn, and because they see him take his coat off, he takes his shoes off, he dives into the water, he swims out to Priscilla, and he grabs her, and he draws her in, and he draws her in, and he draws her in, and he saves her life. And if you would have been watching that event on that day, you would have been cheering because somebody out of the crowd was willing to risk their life to rescue somebody who was about to die. Well, today we're going to continue looking at the book of Acts. We're in Acts 2, if you want to turn in your Bibles, and verse 42 through 47 is what we're going to look at today. And what we're going to see is this principle that Jesus said is greater love hath no man than they would lay down their life for their friends. And that's what Jesus calls us to do, to be sacrificial. And I like the verse in Ephesians 2:10. Think about this. God has created us for a life of good deeds. And that God has created for us a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. And what we're going to see is that church in Acts chapter 2, those 3,000 that were baptized that Jimmy talked about last week on the day of Pentecost, that those 3,000 people are all in. They understand that the selfless, sacrificial Lamb of God, died for them, buried in the tomb, rose on the third day, and that they now have a new way for a new relationship with God the Father, and they are all in. They're excited. Just like Lenny, all in. You know what it means to be all in? There was this chicken and this pig, and they were talking to each other one time because they were reading this big billboard, "Help feed the hungry." So the chicken says to the pig, "Hey, I'm thinking this is a great idea. We should donate some ham and eggs." And the pig just kind of stared at him like, "Are you kidding me? For you, it's a contribution. For me, it would be a total sacrifice. And I want you to recognize that for this church, this new beginning church, they realize this is going to be a total sacrifice, and I'm all in." So we want to read today about that church. But before we do that, I want to present you with a challenge on this self-sacrificial life. Because here's what we know. You and I live in a self-promoting society. Self-centered, self-absorbed, self-promoting. If you look up self-promoting in Google, you're going to see this one will pop up first. The art of self-promotion, 6 ways to get your work discovered by others. Now that is important, isn't it? Well, how about this next one? This is one from Forbes magazine. Self-promotion is a skill, and the whole article is about how you can develop the skill to promote yourself. But this one is even better. 40 ways to self-promote without being a what? A jerk. You don't want to self-promote and be a jerk, but if you can do both, if you can self-promote and not be a jerk, 40 ways there. I mean, I can see all y'all running out. I got to learn these 40 ways. Or maybe you could be like 54% of the teenagers living today when asked, "We'd like to know what you would like to do as a career choice." You know what they said? "I want to be a celebrity." 54%. "I want to be a celebrity." They want to be a goat. Who knows what a goat is? I know you know, but I'm talking about, did you know that GOAT stands for "I want to be the greatest of all time"? I want to be the greatest of all time. I mean, who doesn't want to be the greatest of all time? And here's our challenge. How do we ever transition from being self-promoting to being God-promoting? I want you to imagine that you're traveling down the road, and you're going down the road, and there's a bunch of cows. How many of y'all notice cows when you're traveling down the road, or are they just kind of invisible? I mean, what does a cow do? Okay, what does a cow do? A cow just eats grass, and they just mosey around in a field all day, and so you're driving by the cow, and you're not even paying attention to a cow. Would you pay attention to a cow if you were driving by it? And as you drive by that cow, and you're not paying attention, then there's this passenger in the back seat. "Hey, stop the car. Turn it around. Did y'all see that cow back there? I think this is a Lynn Herman cow. We got to go back and look at that cow. Stop. Are you kidding me? A cow is a cow. They're a dime a dozen. All they do is eat grass all day." No, you have to. I'm begging you. You don't want to miss what I just saw. And they turn the cow around. They pull into the gate. The cow is up against the fence. And the cow looks something like this. No wonder they wanted to turn around, right? This is a remarkable cow. Somebody had painted the cow purple. They put an LSU sticker on the side of him. I mean, who wouldn't? And they're doing selfies. Come on, come over here. Let's get our picture. They get the selfies. They go on Facebook. Millions of hits. Why? It's out of the ordinary. And then it's an extraordinary cow. It's a purple cow. It's not every day we see a purple cow. And a purple cow gets your attention. It draws you to it. How many of you guys, when you were sitting around with Chick-fil-A, were going, "Okay, we need a big chicken." And somebody said, "I got a great idea. Let's use a cow." How many of y'all saw our cow out front? We have a cow out front. I pulled up here this morning, and the very first person that came in the room, I said, "Did you see the cow?" And they said, "What cow?" I said, "Where did you park?" They said, "Over here on the side of the building." I said, "How could you miss the cow? How can you miss the cow?" And why do they use a cow? Listen. It makes people stop the car, turn it around, come back, and people want to see something that's not just regular cow. They want to see something remarkable. And when you witness something remarkable, it dazzles you, and you're like, you lean in, you look, you can you see people in Acts chapter 2 realizing they're not self-promoting, they're God-promoting. And when you promote God and you are selfless, sacrificial servant, people, oh, this is weird. It's not every day you see somebody jump in the Potomac River to save somebody. It's not every day that you're looking at yourself and going, well, now, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I do that? But that's what we're going to see here in Acts chapter 2, that these first followers of Jesus were all in, and what they did made a difference, and what they're going to do here. And so I just want you to think with me for just a minute about yourself. You know, Jesus is going to say the greatest among you will be your servant. You want to move from being self-promoting to being God-promoting? Become a selfless, sacrificial servant. And people are going to take notice. They're going to go, wait a minute, what happened to that jerk? All of a sudden, you became kind. What happened to that self-centered? And I want to just tell you this. I know some of you guys find yourself struggling with your identity. Who am I? Who am I? My identity is kind of wavering, and I'm not really sure who I am anymore. Listen, you show me somebody who's had an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ, and I will show you somebody who knows who they are and what they're living for. Amen? And when you recognize that Jesus is alive and that you can have a relationship with the Father and that Jesus dove in on the cross, shed his blood to rescue you and draw you into a relationship with God the Father, you get excited about that. And you know what you want to do if you're going to model him? The greatest among you will be a servant. You want to serve like Jesus. So I just want to ask you this question. What would others say you're always doing? What would they say? Oh, you know, he's always working. She's always working out. Oh, he's always doing such and such. She's always doing this or that. He's always complaining, griping. He's always doing good. He's always finding fault. This person's always finding a way to lift up. What are you always doing? Now, we're fixing to read Acts 2, 42 through 47. Just want you to ask this simple question. What were those first followers who had captured the sacrificial spirit of Jesus? What were those first followers living into? And it's pretty cool. Let's look at it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You want to know what they were doing? They were devoted, they were committed, they were totally in on learning what the apostles had to teach. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, baptize them, that's who they were, teach them to observe everything that I've told you, and lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the earth. They were making disciples that can make disciples that can make disciples that could pass on the teachings of Jesus. They didn't have a Bible back then, so they couldn't say, here's a Bible, go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. The Bible hasn't been formed yet, and they are teaching people what they had seen and heard. They were eyewitnesses. They were energized. They were excited. And the people who hadn't witnessed Jesus alive after the crucifixion, those people were excited because these folks were telling him what had happened. There's a buzz. And they were devoted to those teachings. They were devoted to doing life together, talking about highs and lows in a day, in a week. They were talking about what's going on in your life. How are you doing? They were breaking bread. They were eating meals together. They were sharing. They were hospitable with one another. And they would end that time with a time of communion, the breaking of the bread there representing even breaking the bread like we did this morning to represent the body of Christ, to represent the blood of Christ. So they would eat a meal like you and I might say a prayer before we ate a meal. They might say a prayer, eat a meal, and at the end of that meal, they would take communion. And it didn't have to be on a Sunday. It could be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They did that because they were all in on this Jesus and the Jesus way. And they were devoted to prayer. It must have been Wednesday night prayer meeting, huh? Everybody was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They were just awed. It was just a delight was going on, a buzz was going on. And all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day. How often? Every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, you got to understand, this first church that we're so energized and so excited about, and aren't they dazzling? Aren't they amazing? They're exclusive. This is an exclusive Jewish community of faith. The Gentiles don't get to come in till we get to Acts chapter 10, and we're only in Acts chapter 2. And the Gentiles, you and I, getting to come in, it is not going to be an easy transition for that church because they are exclusively Jewish at this point. Every day, this Jewish community who's following Jesus continues to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I love this, praising God. There is a sense of celebration and singing and energy and happiness. And hey, did y'all hear that new song that so-and-so wrote? Let's sing that one, you know. And there's an energy going on. But here's the most powerful thing I want you to see. It made the people in Jerusalem, stop the car. We got to go back. What do you want to say? I want you to come and meet this guy who is a Jesus follower. He is a servant of the Most High God. Are you serious? No, turn the car around. You got to go see. They enjoyed the favor of all the people because they were a selfless, sacrificial servant group of people. And so we're not surprised, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Amen. What would others say they were doing? They were one in Christ, one in spirit, one in message, one in heart, one in mind, one in mission. They were together. And as each person held on to Jesus, he was the core value. He was who gave them their sense of identity. I want to be like Jesus. It's not about anything other than the heart of God, the life of God, the Jesus spirit living in me, alive in me to such a degree that the spirit of God, the love of God comes into me and it flows out into other people. And that's what we see happening here. And I simply want to ask you here this morning is this. Could you on this day realign yourself into this sense of purpose and this sense of mission? And that could you simply say to yourself, this is who I want to be. If you think this is not really clear, what's really going on here, Paul clarifies what's going on in Acts 2, I think, beautifully in Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what he says. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, the mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to be used to his own advantage. So here's God up at the top because he's God. And Jesus says, I'm not jockeying for the top CEO position. No, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to be the GOAT. I don't want to be the greatest of all times. That's not my identity. That's not who I want to be known for. What I want to be known for, and we find in verse 7, rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a what? Servant. What was Jesus' identity wrapped up in? A servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he would humble himself and he'd become obedient. He'd become obedient to death, even death on a cross. And God is going to exalt him. And God is going to be glorified because Jesus is a servant. So I just want to ask you this morning. We know this is who we are. We know this is who we've been called to be, just like those people in Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to ask you to read this next statement with me if you are ready and want to realign your life, realign your heart into this mission of being a servant. It reads like this. I'll read it. I am a selfless sacrificial servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I am serving Christ. You see, serving is not going to be just what I do or what you do. It's going to be who we are. That is our core value. That is our core sense of identity. And that is who we are. And the Lord is making us into his servants. And you might say, Ken, I'm pretty selfish. Hello, you're looking at Mr. Selfish right here. Self-centered, self-righteous, self-promoting. That's our struggle. But the call of the cross of Christ is to be a servant. So if you would, and you're ready to think about this and process this, let's try to live into this mission statement. Let's read it together. I am a selfless, sacrificial servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I am serving Christ. Amen. Let's try it one more time. This time you don't have to say it. Say it silent to yourself. Say it in your heart. I am a selfless, sacrificial servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I am serving Christ. And the call of Christ is that we would live into that. And I want to just give you three suggestions on how we can live into that. The first thing I want to say is this. You got to prepare a sack lunch. Selfless. Take the focus off yourself and see other people. And here's how I want to do it. Parents, if you got kids, I'm going to tell you this. On Sunday afternoon, go to the grocery store and find all those things that you might put in a sack lunch, and you help get your kids to help you make a sack lunch. You fold that sack lunch up, you put it in your car, and when you pull by a homeless person, you have already predetermined that your family is going to do a random act of kindness for a homeless person, and you roll your window down, and they're going to be looking like, you got some money for us, and you're going, nope, got a sack lunch, though. Silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, here's a sack lunch. Just want to ask you to get your kids, and adults, I don't really see why, even if you don't have kids, you couldn't be doing something like this. Is this making sense? If I'm going to be selfless, I have to start seeing other people, really seeing other people. You think about this. If you ask your kids, parents, if you're looking for a Bible study, you can talk about King David. You ask your kids, who's David? Oh, he's the guy that killed Goliath, and he became a king, and he wrote all these wonderful psalms. And then you tell them, did you know David made a sack lunch? What? Yes, look over here. Jesse calls David in, and he says to David, David, I want you to make a sack lunch and take it to your brothers. And before you can be this awesome servant of God, you have to be this selfless servant of God. And David, in a selfless way, takes the lunch to his brothers. Okay, the next one is you got to provide a ride. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of folks are wonderful servants here. And when somebody needs a ride, they go get them, pick them up, and they bring them to our church service. Provide a ride. But providing a ride is a little more here. This is on the sacrificial side. Selfless, sacrificial servants. Okay, we're doing sacrificial. Provide a ride means you take your resources you have and you use them for the glory of the Lord. That's what it means. To sacrifice your resources to enhance, to build up, to help somebody else. You remember when Jesus sent the disciples into town? He said, I want you to go in town. You're going to find this donkey, a donkey nobody's ever ridden. I want you to untie it. And somebody asks you, what are you doing taking my donkey? You say to them, the Lord needs it. Oh, yeah, right, sure. Like I haven't heard that one before. No, just say to them, the Lord needs it. And I want you to think about this. You know, this guy, this businessman who obviously, you know, did he have one donkey or 10 donkeys? Did he have a fleet of 500 donkeys? But they go in, and this is a donkey that's never been ridden. And he might have been thinking, okay, I've got upgraded the hooves on this donkey. This is not just your regular donkey here. And so it's going to cost you a little. No. Whatever the Lord needs. What was his name? Oh, he doesn't have a name. It was a selfless, sacrificial using of his resources, whatever would do to amplify and magnify the glory of the Lord. Okay, so you can prepare a sack lunch, you can provide a ride, and you can pack a towel. How many of you got a towel? Because kids are always spilling stuff in your vehicles, and you just keep them. How about the handy wipes? Ooh, those things are amazing, aren't they? We use handy wipes for everything. Pack a towel, though, is, well, I'm going to take you back. to that upper room. You know what's going on in the upper room? The goat. Who's the greatest of all times? And John says, I know I'm the greatest of all times. They go, stop it. In the future, John, I know what you're going to do. You're going to write a gospel, and in it, you're always going to say, and John, the one that Jesus loved. Come on. You're not his favorite. He loves all of us. No, I'm John, the one Jesus loved. I'm going to write it 3 or 4 times in my gospel. And everybody reading my gospel is going to know I am Jesus' favorite. And Peter says, no way. I am the guy who walked on water. Don't you remember? Bartholomew says, yeah, but you sunk. You sunk. It was a funny. Oh, that was the funniest day. Do y'all remember when Peter sunk? There's no way you're the greatest. And Nathaniel says, well, don't you remember Jesus said about me, I'm a true Israelite. There's nothing false about me. So obviously, and they're bickering about the goat. They're fighting for the top. And Jesus packed the towel. And he takes off his outer garment. He wraps a slave's towel around his waist. And he goes over looking at proud hearts and stinking dirty feet. Now, this dirty feet washing kind of thing, okay, I see you there, Lynn. You're kind of going, I am not doing that kind of thing. You're thinking, oh, would you come over and wash my feet? Could you give me a pedicure? Listen, my wife would say, you don't want to give Ken a pedicure. When he's wearing his sandals, if you look at his toenails and he hasn't been really on top of them, they're like razor blades. You don't want to mess with those. They're lethal weapons. But that's what Jesus does. He gets down and he washes their feet. And I want you to think about this. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? And he's the bread of life, the Prince of Peace, the living water, the great high priest. He's the light of the world, the Lamb of God, the righteous judge, the living stone, the true vine, the King of glory, the chosen one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And how does the song go? Y'all gonna have to help me, you Harding guys. He's my Messiah, my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and friend, and he's the righteous one. He's our rock. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And he knelt down and he washed feet to remind us, inverted pyramid, the greatest among you will be the one who serves. And you got to enjoy this. In Matthew 25, Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into heaven. And he doesn't have our good checklist. You went to church, you took communion. That's not what is on his list of people who are going to go to heaven. Do you know who the greatest is in the kingdom of God? Is the one who is a selfless, sacrificial servant. And over here he puts the sheep, and over here he puts the greatest of all times. And you know what he says about the goats? I'm sorry, greatest of all times. You got your glory on earth, and I don't know if we even have a relationship. And to the sheep, he said, I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. Hungry, you fed me. I was in prison, or I was excluded, and you invited me in. You embraced me. You loved me. You cared for me. I was naked. You clothed me. And they go, you know, I'm glad I'm in, but I don't really remember doing any of that stuff. And he will say to them, whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. Random acts of service, whether you're providing a lunch, you're packing a lunch, preparing a lunch, if you're providing a ride, and you've got providing and packing a towel, whatever you're doing there, whatever selfless sacrificial service you're giving to people, you're giving it to Jesus. Amen. I love this illustration in Acts 9. In Joppa, there was a disciple. Now, this is a disciple who was in the disciple process, meaning somebody that knew the apostles and they made them disciples, and they made they made Tabitha a disciple. She was a Christ follower. She was equipped. She was ready to teach somebody not only the gospel, but to grow them in Christ. There was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was what? What was she always doing? Read it with me. She was always doing good and helping the poor. What was she doing? Read it with me. She was always doing good and helping the poor. She was on mission, folks. And that first century church living into service, that call is for you and I to live into service. What would others say that you are doing? You want to read it with me again? Say it with me. I am always a selfless, sacrificial servant of the Most High God. And I have to tell you this. One of the amazing things, I appreciate Scotty. We have so many ministries here. And I have a ministry service inventory. It's called Shape to Serve. What is your spiritual gift, your heart, your ability, your personality, your experiences? What is your shape to serve? And you take that inventory, and then I help you plug in it. If you and I have never had this conversation and you'd like to know what your shape is, what were you built to do to serve other people? I would invite you to come see me and get that inventory. But we have so many wonderful servants, from people who are leading small groups to teaching our classes on Sunday morning, who are going to the prison. I want to thank you guys for being the selfless, sacrificial servants of the Most High God. You are an amazing church family. But I'm going to tell you something. The thing that's going to get people's attention, the thing that's going to make people turn around and let's go see it, is when they see us serving. So when you hear that a group of people are going to the Oasis House to paint, or when you hear there's a group of people going to feed people under the bridge, when you hear that there's acts of service, I am so excited. We've got Thanksgiving coming up, and we've invited Tiny and the group that we give hams and food to every year. She's going to come in and she's going to share with us in the near future and just talk about that as we prepare for Thanksgiving. I am so excited that you guys are going to have an opportunity to invest in our community and invite them to the Christmas program. I am praying and I'm asking you to join me in prayer that we have over 600 people here for the Christmas concert this year. It is an amazing event every year, and we have tons of guests from the community who come, but would you help me and you start inviting people? Look in your bulletin, look at the date, and let's make our Christmas concert an outreach to the community, get them in here, serve them some of our fine community coffee, and really have a great time with the community. And I believe that if you will see yourself as a selfless, sacrificial servant of the Most High God, investing in people and inviting them, a great entry into getting to know our church family and what we're all about here is to come to the Christmas concerts. Amen? Are you hearing amens out here? Anytime you see us doing stuff, I see people even right now trying to put together a group from Harding. Can you imagine this? I know what our connection is with this. A group from Harding may be coming in and singing in January, and it's still in the works, so it's on the down low. Don't tell anybody. I wasn't supposed to tell you. But we're trying to make that work in January. We have so many exciting, wonderful things happening, but I'll tell you one of the most wonderful things that could happen today if you don't know Jesus is you would surrender to him in baptism. And I would be honored to either baptize you into Christ or to find the person that you love, that you would love for to baptize you in Christ, for you to surrender your life to Jesus. There's not a better day to do that than today. And if you're out there and you're going, I've been checking out this church thing, and I'm not really sure I buy in. It looks to me like church people are a bunch of hypocrites. Okay, we are. We don't get it right. And God never asked us to be perfect. He just asked us to be his. So if you're looking at us and you're waiting for us to be perfect, we're not. But God never asked us to be that. He just asked us to be selfless, sacrificial servants of the Most High God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me as before we sing this next song. And if you have a prayer request, just motion for some of us. We'll come and pray with you. But I want to close our time together right here in prayer. And Emmett Gaskins passed away Friday, and Dale's here and with us today. And I was thinking about Jimmy's communion service, and I was thinking about Dale back there losing his dad on Friday. And I'm going to close this with a prayer for the Gaskin family. and a prayer for our church family. Lord, make us servants. Let's pray together. Merciful God and Father, I lift up Dale and Stacy and Taylor to you right now. I just pray that you will be them in the passing of his father. We celebrate his life. What a great man of God he was. But there's a deep void in the life. Thank you for Jimmy reminding us of the thin veil between us and the people we love who have passed on before us. We feel their presence. We feel your presence. And we know that you're molding us and making us and relaunching us and refocusing us on being a powerful, powerful light in a dark community. Father, we love you. Help us to celebrate life in you each and every day is our prayer through Christ. And all who agree say amen. Let's praise God with this song.